Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for tonight is from Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 40. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Behind all the noise and the parties and the celebrations tonight, all the marks that make for a coming of a new year, there are those who have been watchful, and a note of sadness comes upon them. Not only because of all the loved ones who have been called home this past year, whose names will be remembered again tonight as the bell will toll during the prayers, but also because the Lord hasn't returned to remove us from this trail of tears that we call everyday life. The older we grow, it seems the more seriously we ponder these things. Make no mistake, it is no accident that the older we grow, the faster time seems to move. For the thoughtful, New Year's Eve confronts us directly with the problem of time. What are we to make of our time? Those who don't want to think seriously about this seek to hide their thoughts of despair that the end brings with the appearance of an endless party, always busy doing something that leads to nothing. This is really the only option for those who wish to deny the realities of this life. They rather sleepwalk through this life only to be grievously woken up by old age or tragic accident, a serious physical illness, or death of a loved one or friend. For surely we all die unless the Lord returns first. It is pointless to try to imagine death away, or to cover it up, or to make it somehow housebroken or tame. It's not domestic. It's not natural. It's not how God created it. Yet we feel it in our bones. And to look at death as being the only end is to look to despair. For what then was the point and purpose of our life, or of anything that we did in our life? Life is then meaningless. Listen carefully, and you will hear under much of the gaiety and festivities connected with tonight the wild and reckless cry of those who think that this is it, that this life is all that we have. And so they celebrate in defiance, having no other answer to give than eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. Tonight's reading from Luke's Gospel offers us joy in another way. Oh, it doesn't get rid of death, no. We are born, we live, we die. But what we believe comes after our dying, that is what shapes how we live in the meantime. Our Lord Jesus says in our text, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once. And when he comes and knocks, blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table and will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third watch and finds them awake, blessed are those servants." Luke 12 is kind of an interesting section. It's a transition from our Lord's discussion on the proper attitude towards our possessions, and he moves then to a call for watchfulness at the end, as the end is near. It's a fitting topic, either one, for New Year's Eve. There is a similarity between the rich fool in Luke 12, 13 through 21, who is unprepared when his soul is required of him, as Jesus says, "But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." And the servant here, who is concerned with the delay of the master, with the delay of the master's return, you see, both are falling asleep to the siren song of eat, drink, and be merry, and are surprised when the end comes, for neither were watchful. Jesus mind you. He is not saying to us, it's a good idea if you are watchful. He's not saying, it would be nice if you were prepared. Or he would be happy with you if you stayed awake. No, Jesus is telling his chosen disciples and you and me to stay prepared like the children of Israel waiting for the Exodus. This is an imperative, not a suggestion. It is a command. You must be prepared. You remember the first Exodus. The Israelites were prepared and ready to go at a moment's notice. Their belts fastened so they can walk. Their feet with their sandals already on for rough terrain. And the staff in their hand not only to help them walk, but also to protect them if needed. In our text, Jesus is calling his chosen disciples and us to this Passover state of readiness, to a faithfulness. As we eagerly wait his return, not one of us here tonight has been promised that we will make it to 2020. The Lord could return right now. He could require our soul this very moment. And if we wrongly understood this concept, we might be tempted to say, well, let's just wait and see. What a waste of time. What a waste of God's gifts. What a waste of the opportunity to serve our neighbors and in doing so, serve our God. It is clear from the context of our text, which is sandwiched between these two accounts in Luke, that of the rich fool and the sleepy steward, who are only concerned with themselves. The rich fool thought he gathered up enough for years of leisure, only to hear that he was a fool and that his soul was required of him that very night. He had said to himself, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. And it did not work out. And we know this story has played itself out in our friends and family's lives so often, it's horrifying. How many have thought they had saved enough money and squandered enough and pinched enough pennies so they could have a long retirement and enjoy it, only to die before reaching it or to die shortly after, or to have it all spent on medical bills? We don't want to become like the sleepy steward, the unfaithful servant, who clearly tired of waiting, that is later on in Luke chapter 12. But if that servant says to himself, my master delayed in coming, and he begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and to drink and to get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day that he does not expect it, at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knows his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. This lazy watchfulness, well, produces nothing but despair in the end, which is really a reference to nothing but hell. Because the Lord Jesus is with us, he is with us always, even when it doesn't feel like it. And those who call Jesus their master are left with a master who is both gone and here at the same time. It's a quandary that Augustine, however you want to pronounce his name, speaks of when he writes a commentary on this text. He writes, our Lord Jesus Christ both came to men and went away from men and is to come to men. And yet he is here when he came, nor did he depart when he went away. And he is to come to them to whom he said, lo, I am with you even to the end of the world. Sin causes us to think, you see, to say and to do things that are the opposite of the master's instructions. As we have joined our hearts with both the rich fool and the sleepy steward, the rude and unmerciful servant, we have thought that the blessings we have received in this life have been due to our superior work, our skills. Or we have forgotten about the master altogether and did whatever we felt good. The year of our Lord 2019 is full of these examples of both the sinful worldviews, as many have avoided worship in God's house, seeking rather to hide in the party, to eat, drink, and be merry. We hear it in the lovely excuse, "I'm tired, I want to sleep in. Go to bed earlier." It's a real simple solution. It works every time. It's the only day I have off. Find a different job. Go to a different service. Those excuses don't wash. You see, or worse, we have mistreated our brothers and sisters in Christ as we have sought to remove the speck from their eye while avoiding the plank in our own, or worse yet, and just as damnable, to ignore the plank in both our eyes. To just say, "It's none of my business, none of my affair. What am I to get involved? How dare I tell somebody something is wrong when it actually is wrong?" And that's why we're in the quandary we're in to this day. This is also why we begin and end each year with confession and absolution, as we confess our sins and once again are forgiven by God Himself. And this is why we also come to the Lord's table to receive that food of forgiveness as the very body and blood of Christ, well, enters into our body and blood to make us holy before God as we are joined to Him. One of the great comforts of this life is knowing where God has promised to be, because He's not somebody we have to seek for. He's not hidden. He's not hiding. He is always there working through His Word. And His Word joined to the earthly elements of water, bread, and wine, all given to join us to Jesus, and with Him the forgiveness of our sins through His life, death, and resurrection. Nothing new here. And for the church, we are comforted by doing God's things over and over again, knowing that the results are not based on us, but rather the work of the Holy Spirit. I know this can get draining. It can feel boring. But we must remember we are called to be awake and faithful, not to be exciting and accepted by all. Jesus said, "Blessed are those servants who the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or the third watch and finds them awake, blessed are those servants." And at the Lord's altar tonight, that is exactly what the Lord does. As we receive a foretaste of the feast that is to come, our Lord Jesus serves us Himself. This is no wilderness manna that we have to guess what it is. It is Jesus' very body and blood, in with and under the bread and wine, for the forgiveness of our sins. Tonight we gather for this meal with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. And that company of heaven this year has grown larger as the Lord has called many more home. And we rejoice to dine with them as well. The second part of our text emphasizes something also very important. Because the Master is not the only one who will come. It's not the only one who could come in the night. He could be a thief. And we have to be awake for that chance too. For when the people of God stop their watchfulness, let down their guard, the guard of God's word, tire of the means of grace, the thief has already broken in and looted the whole place. How many churches, how many members today have fallen asleep at the door, unwilling to proclaim the law of God, to wake the sleeping sinner so that they might rightly hear the gospel? Or unwilling to proclaim the gospel clearly, thus leaving the hearer to believe that there is something they can do to save themselves. Let us all heed the call to worship tonight, the call for watchfulness, the call to repent. For I know the spirit is willing and the flesh is oh so weak. We have all taken our naps. We confess that tonight in thought, word, and deed. This is why our Master not only serves, but must offer Himself to suffer and to die for our sins, and rises from the dead on the third day to assure us that our sins are forgiven So wake up. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. So tonight we pause and look forward as the year of our Lord 2019 comes to a close. And if the Lord tarries, the year of our Lord 2020 comes. And so we pray the Lord to extend His kingdom of grace yet again, so that many more may come to saving faith, or that the Lord's kingdom of glory come, that we may indeed rejoice in heaven with Him this night. But have no fear, dear friends in Christ. We face whatever the future holds with the sure and certain confidence that St. Paul proclaims so beautifully in our epistle. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things past, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is how we face each day. This is how we must face each year. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.